I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This ship is taking me far away, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Newcastle and Leicester are in the quarters, but Luton are out of the FA Cup. It's Wednesday 28th of Feb. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
I'm Andy Russell.
It's Wednesday, and it's a wonderful Wednesday, Pete Donaldson, because your boys, Newcastle United, are into the quarterfinals of the FA Cup.
What a fairy tale. Finally getting to grips with the cup.
Throwing out a championship side
on
penalties.
Two more matches and we're in Wembley, baby.
Yeah, or well, one more match.
One more match, sorry, yes.
Technically, these
right
days.
Right into the belly of the Cockney Mafia beast. You must be thrilled.
It was... We are entertaining at the moment, aren't we?
We certainly are. United. We'll get to Newcastle in just a sec, because I have to say thanks to friend of the Ramble, Emil, for sending us today's intro line. Of course, you can become a friend of the Ramble by heading over to patreon.com/footballramble. And if you do that, you'll also get a very special extended edition of Ramble today and every single Wednesday for just $5 a month. We call it Ramble Uncut. Sometimes we call it Ramble Uncensored. Sometimes we call it Ramble Knights, Andy.
Yeah. I always call it Ramble Knights.
Are they like the Knights Templar?
Yes.
Just you know, they dress well. They're into everything.
And we always record it in Malta.
Exactly.
If you know your history, people, that
you
was
know
a...
that the Knights of the Templar dressed well.
I think the Knights of the Templar have such an extensive kind of like conspiracy theory kind of history over the last 20 years even. We're inventing new places that they were founded.
20? They go back hundreds of years,
I know, but they've become incredibly popular.
Oh, is that
presumably
right?
Presumably after the video game on the PC, Broken Sword, in the 90s.
Do you know what? I had no idea until I went to Malta.
Well, there you go.
You know, I presumably met some.
Either way, this is distracting from my vision of the Ramble Knights, which is Jim on a white horse and the rest of us like clanking around in suits of armour.
Jim
and
on white horses.
That's you do true. Not want the dyspraxic one on a horse, let's be fair. If it ever comes to pass, let's make sure that does not happen.
I'll chin it.
I do, because we'll get 250.
It's your culture, isn't it?
Yeah. Do not allow me to enjoy my culture of horse punching, please.
That's true. Now, Peter, I believe you're going to tell us about a Kevin Keegan rug you bought on eBay from one of our listeners on today's Ramble Uncut. So if you want to hear more, don't give it away.
All right.
They've got to go to patreon.com/
I didn't know I was buying it from the listener.
Stop giving nuggets
all
away.
Right. Stop giving nuggets away.
Yes, I know. Is I believe what the enforcer of the law told you once. Now, Blackburn Rovers won, Newcastle United won. Newcastle won 4-3 on pens.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Martin Dubravka was the hero at the end of the match.
Chris Parskevus called it the Shevki Kuki testimonial, this match, which I very much enjoyed.
Yeah, David Batty.
David Batty, Shearer, and others.
Alan Shearer being the obvious one. Yeah, so Newcastle, they're in the quarterfinals for only the second time in 18 years. And you have to say, Peter,
it's a proper cup, isn't it?
They've got a chance. They've got a chance. Eddie Howe was relieved to get through because this was a proper ding dong, of course. Jim, did you enjoy this game?
I did enjoy it. Yeah, it was ding dong is absolutely right, isn't it? It was a proper battle. And once Newcastle scored, you thought, all right, they've had a really difficult, stodgy job to do and they've got it done. But then, no.
No. Yeah, Blackburn looked like the Premier League team at times, didn't it? The way the Championship is such a different beast these days. And like Blackburn, it kind of belies their league position, but they've got some cracking young physical players who can really sort of mix it. So, yeah, it was a really, really good performance from Blackburn.
Their subs added so much value to them, and their sort of technical quality seemed to grow through the game. They were really impressive.
Yeah. But you were concerned about the 10 o'clock news because extra time penalties delayed it.
No,
and despite us having 24-hour news channels, you want that 10 o'clock news, baby.
No, on the contrary, I think it's a great thing. This was just such a FA Cup throwback in so many ways. Mm. The idea of the news will follow the football, as if it's like, it's an emergency. This never happens. It's like, no, it never happens that we've got football on the telly on a Tuesday night. It's brilliant.
There was a similar moment in the Carabao Cup final on Sunday that felt like a real throwback to me, where they announced the attendance. It's like, who cares? Like,
they always do that, though.
I know they do, but it's like, actually, I've found, maybe they're doing it at the Emirates and I'm just tuned out.
They lie at the Emirates. They do lie at the Emirates. But maybe they've stopped lying altogether. I don't know.
They lie everywhere.
Vince McMahon.
But still, like the idea.
Sorry,
of
Pete's
doing...
blaming Vince McMahon.
He legendarily would bump up the amount. He would count stewards and stuff.
Right.
And
so why is he in charge of the electoral process then?
He's a hanging Chad man.
I just think it's interesting when it's not the home stadium of either club that anyone would care.
That's a good point, actually. Like an interesting throwback. But do you remember? I remember when I was going to see Hartlepool. Like the attendance when it was around about the fours or fives. You're like, yeah. Yeah, this is a Darlington Hartlepool derby. Yeah, everyone's there.
Everyone's come out. It's exciting.
I find it interesting when they read out the attendance and it gets a round of applause from some people. Get a load of us.
Yeah, well done.
We've all turned up.
Yeah. What I think is nice is in League Two now, because I thought it was just at Wimbledon, but they've done it in a few other places that I've been to recently, where they say, and that includes 461 Barrow fans.
That is
whatever.
Nice.
Okay. Now that is applause-worthy.
Nice. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, it's definitely a different thing in the lower leagues, but again, Wembley, I just found it funny. Mm.
I really like, speaking of stadiums, I really like Ewood Park. It's become it jumped out at me completely by accident that it holds a hell of a lot of the nostalgia for me. It's probably crumbling at the edges, anybody who's got a season ticket there, but I just love watching football there.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And also as well, when people often talk about the park, he plays in the centre of the park. Well, Ewood Park, that is actually
park,
accurate.
Yeah, true.
So that's fair. We
needed quality in the centre of that park, and I don't think we're necessarily getting it from...
Since Tim Sherwood, Peter, has there been? But when you say about is the stadium sort of crumbling and whatnot, I mean, it hasn't had anything done for a while. I don't know if that's a concern
the
of the fans.
Remember, obviously when they started becoming incredibly successful under Walker, they obviously spent a lot of money in improving it in the 90s.
But now the reality is that the Venkies are kind of like championship glazers, aren't they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I think when you were talking, Jim, about the quality they were able to bring off the bench and the quality of Blackburn in general, it's absolutely remarkable. It's like a hat tip to Thomason and now, I guess, to a lesser extent, Eustace, because he's only just arrived. Because if you think about it, their major signing that they were trying to pull off in the January transfer window didn't happen because the owners just turned round to the staff who were working very hard on this transfer and said, yeah, we haven't got any money. So the guy ends up stranded in a hotel in Sheffield or whatever. You know, it's unbelievable, really. So they really are... making, doing and mending.
The Venkies have been there for so long now.
Yeah.
And they've
never
been popular. I mean, you remember when a chicken was released onto the pitch?
Yeah.
And that, I mean, how long ago was that?
Well, obviously the protest happened in the, was it the 15th, 14th, 14th minute to celebrate or rather get rather annoyed.
Celebrate.
Celebrate the 14 years of the Venkies rule. But I mean, it was a... I mean, they need to plan that better because, I mean, it added 1 minute of extra time.
Yeah, well, that was it.
Tennis balls kicked on.
Apparently it was 15 to 20.
15 to 20.
Tennis
right,
balls.
Three packets.
Yeah, exactly.
three tubes.
You've not really done a lot there. I mean,
are you saying remote control car with a chicken on it?
Exactly. Yeah. Chicken. Or just fill the chicken legs as a buzz. Easy to manoeuvre. Well.
Or some best practice, surely. Mm. Yeah.
I mean, chicken with a flare up its bum.
Not a real chicken if you're going to do that.
Okay. Could it not pop
Why
up the egg hole?
Why did you consider that? Why did you have to think about that?
But what if the chicken was
trying to help him out?
Well, I was thinking girth-wise, because you not pop up the egg hole, because eggs are roughly the size of a
You do realise Andy's
an
now
England
joining
fan.
In with your nonsense.
Yes, he's helping.
Chicken's an England fan, it's fine. You should know that.
Yeah.
Oh, Andy.
Tell us something your hen doesn't know. get it in its cloaca.
I despair, for the record. But the amount of tennis balls, yes. I mean, if you compare it to what happened in the Bundesliga recently, it wasn't really... up there. But
they don't even have Sports Direct in Germany.
They don't. and more's the pity. But we shouldn't sort of have a go at the sort of, I suppose, deemed lack of protest, because these fans are thoroughly pissed off with the owners. And have been for a long, long time. And it's just yet another club that is going through this.
Yeah, and you'll know this as well as anyone, Pete. It just sucks the joy out of the experience of supporting football when you have an owner that just essentially just sits on the club and uses it as part of a portfolio. It's just they're happy for it to just stay static and for it to just be.
It's the passive income we all dream of on YouTube.
Indeed.
Blackburn Rovers. I've invested in Blackburn Rovers. What?
Yeah.
But I mean, you just flip houses.
I mean, for any football club, it doesn't matter how old it is and so on, but it does kind of sting a little bit more when you know the history of Blackburn Rovers, you know, such a storied and history club as well. So, yeah, but shame for them that they didn't progress, but great for Newcastle United, who do have an eye on that trophy, Pete Donaldson.
They'll need a bigger eye. They'll need to open those eyes a little wider.
Yeah, why? Because Man City's still in it.
Well, yeah.
Oh, no.
They are, but, you know, you've got Leicester still in there, Coventry in there. Mm. Leeds are beating Chelsea tonight, probably.
None of those are beating Man City.
No, but it might mean, you know, you could get a plum route to the final and then get dicked on there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, enjoy it. Another expensive dicking for Donaldson. Once again. Yeah, it was. I think this match was strange because obviously back when we're up for the cup and Newcastle very open, but like Andy, the central midfield for Newcastle, they look really leggy and just Longstaff in particular just looks he needs to. Yeah, he's 26 now. And he should be entering his primo years. And they couldn't have foreseen what happened with Tonali, but what's going on? Help me, I've got no words.
I think if you look at that 11, generally, okay, there are a couple of tweaks last night, but they've been playing with the same 11 for 4 months, give or take. You can't do that. You just can't do that.
Well, they can, because they're through.
Yeah, as Bruno Guimaraes proves, nothing that a couple of bars of Kinder won't solve.
Exactly.
And he's playing like a man who's eating a lot of chocolate at the moment, isn't he?
Lewis Miley looks like a grizzled old veteran at this point.
Well, like when Miley first started that, he's been promoted above his pay grade too early and he's going to fall foul of it. The last few games, he's actually been quite well. I thought, he's actually really been blooded in quite nicely. But yeah, I just think like Andy said, they're just, there's too many air miles in those legs.
I think that'll be really valuable experience for him in the sort of short to medium turn, though.
Yeah, when he goes on to Burnley next season.
Well, they are through to the next round, despite the musings there of Peter Donaldson. And Leicester City are also in the next round. You have to say it's a cup set.
It is.
Even though Leicester are doing very, very well in the Championship, despite losing the last two games, they have caused a cup set at Premier League Bournemouth. Mm. They scored a lovely goal. Fatu in the 105th minute with a beauty, Jim Campbell. It was worth waiting.
It was. I watched the Newcastle game, so I wasn't as with the Bournemouth v Leicester game. But by all accounts, it was lacking in quality, despite there being a lot of shots. But that made up for it, because that was an absolute belter. Got to be gutted for Bournemouth there, I think. But,
why? Why have you got to be gutted for Bournemouth?
If you are a Bournemouth fan, you will be gutted for Bournemouth, because you'll be looking at a potential FA Cup quarter final, thinking that, you know what, this is a lovely little extra thing to have in what's probably quite an enjoyable season. For
and
Bournemouth
Leicester have won the FA Cup recently.
Leicester have won the FA Cup recently. Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, no, all right. So what? Tell me why you hate Bournemouth so much then.
I don't hate Bournemouth, but I'm not gutted for them. I think we all enjoy a cup set, and Leicester City are having such a great time of it. And I think
Does this even count as a cup set? Are you convinced of that?
Well, it is.
It is, but I think it's the sort of most... the least cup-setting cup set you can have if it's the team that are top of the championship.
All right, so, okay, so, I mean, 31 miles an hour and a 30 speed limit is still speeding.
Tell yourself that, mate.
Yeah.
I'm not the one that's getting tickets all the time.
Or can drive.
It's not safe. I do that for you.
Well, what I'm saying, it is a cup set. You can't take that away from Leicester. And the reason why...
But we want to.
Yeah, I know you do, but you can't. The reason why I think it's great for Leicester is because if anybody out there is unaware of what they've been doing this season, this is the kind of thing that makes people sit up and take note. Mm. They've been superb in the Championship. I know they've lost the last two games, but I mean, come on, they're 6 points above Leeds, who are in second. Enzo Maresca has been doing a marvellous job there. I mean, they really...
Unbelievable.
You often get a side in the Championship who just really take to it, don't they? And they blitz it. You wonder when they start to kind of run out a little bit of steam and so on, and then maybe there's a slight wobble. But I mean, you know, they've only lost six games all season.
I think the point about Maresca is really interesting. How you're saying, like, when he came in at the start of the season, there's that sense of, oh, well, he's just a philosophy coach. Let's see how he deals with 46 games in the Championship. It turns out really amazingly well.
He's dealt with 34 of them superbly because they're top by 6 points.
Yeah.
Off, you know, in front of a Leeds side who are on a great run as well. Obviously, yes. Ipswich have impressed too. So they are flying. And I think that no one will want to play Leicester.
No.
Obviously, they'd rather play Leicester than Manchester City.
This is what I mean, though. The team that are the top of the Championship is a very, very different proposition than a team who are, you know, just any, you know, an other team from a lower division. Do you know what I mean? You've got really got to kind of got to plan that very well and very carefully because they go into it with a lot of quality and nothing to lose.
It feels to me as if they're on loan to the Championship, just like Burnley and possibly other clubs are on loan to
Leicester specifically. But when you say, like, oh, well, they're top of the Championship, you know, is it a cup set and so on? Well, Ipswich were second in the Championship when Maidstone beat them.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And so it doesn't always work out, lads.
When you look at what Coventry did to Maidstone on Monday night and how they did it, it just, what were Ipswich doing?
But I think it was just a game too far for Maidstone. I think once they get into that position, that's why they're desperate for a Man City type game because, like I say, the manager and everyone just goes, oh, let's not bother prepping for this.
Let's do your best.
I mean, can you imagine him sitting down with their central midfielders and going, right, if he plays Rodri, okay, this is where... Just shut up. Don't worry about it, you know? Whereas when they play Coventry, they've all got to try and raise it. And it was just, you know, that was as far as they could go. But Leicester are in the quarterfinals, and so are Manchester City. Nice to see Tim Krul in goal for Luton, Peter.
It is, yeah. I mean, it's just good to see him in able employment. It didn't go to penalties, so...
Yeah. As someone who's...
No, it very much didn't go to penalties.
Yeah. As someone who's pro Tim Krul, though, is it nice to see him in goal in that specific situation?
Yeah.
You just got to take what you're given these days, surely.
Give me some Krul, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Krul. I'm heading for a Krul summer.
Be Krul to me. Erling Haaland scored 5 goals for Manchester City. Didn't even play the whole game because he was subbed in the 77th minute. He's already got 8 hat-tricks for Manchester City.
Yeah, terrible season.
Obscene.
That's the second time he scored 5 in a game.
It is.
I think he did it in the Champions League as well.
I think that's more notable than the 8 hat-tricks. Yeah.
But in both cases, he's been taken off around, you know, the 75-minute mark.
Exactly,
because surely.
Double one.
But he would have been on for one as well because, there was a lot of tap-ins in this match for him, to be honest. But a cheeky dink at one point when he usually blasts it, he's still got the dink in his back pocket.
He's showing off all his tricks when he finishes.
But the way he was taken off was like a naughty kid who's off his head on a sunny day, just getting dragged in the house.
Come on!
Yeah, he's going to hurt someone else if we don't take him off.
Yeah.
79 goals in 83 games for Manchester City. Not quite 1-1, but he's on his way. Get another 5
disgusting.
And you'll be okay.
Farmers League. could Clark have hit his any better though?
Now you're talking.
Best goals of the game.
Exactly.
Easily.
Heading for a hat trick. Uh-huh. I wanted to see what he would do for the third.
But don't you think the first one, when he put it in, that look he had on his face was like, I can't believe I've spent this on a game like this.
Wasted this one, yeah.
Well, at the time, they weren't consolations, were they?
But it came out of the clouds. And the keepers just going, oh, what the fuck do I want this?
It's been a great week for the Clarks.
Exocet missile. Yes, a lot of Clarks.
Clarks won a trophy on the weekend, made Clark Senior proud. And this unrelated Clark has had a lovely touch there. Mm. The second goal is a lovely ball from Ross Barkley as well. Yeah. Even in among this, he's managed to impress.
You think as well, if you could somehow had access to this sort of information, if you could tell Luton they'd score twice,
yeah,
they might think, you know what, we've got a chance.
That's a platform, yeah. Isn't it?
you never know. Very sad news for Manchester City. I think football in general. Jack Grealish came off after 38 minutes due to injury.
£117 million footballer getting hung out by Pep.
Well,
I know it was an injury, but like he's not had some glowing things to say.
Yeah,
about
he's been very candid recently, Pep Guardiola, isn't he, about Grealish's form this season? And he praised him and said he's sort of getting back to it, but said that essentially he's not been at the level that he needs him to be at for the rest of the season in a way that is unusual from Pep, actually. And I think I think Grealish probably responds to that. I remember when Jeremy Doku first started getting real plaudits, Grealish kind of, you know, pulled his socks up a bit and was very impressive when he did get back into the team. And obviously this run of injuries isn't helpful for him, but it does make you wonder if Grealish is sort of
rushing himself back,
absolutely, but also because he's always going to say he's fit to play if he's this motivated. But you wonder if his short-term future is away from City. Maybe not this summer, but possibly the one after.
But I know what you mean, despite the price tag that Pete just reminded of. But for Man City, it's not really an issue, is it? I mean, I'm concerned for Grealish with these injuries and seeing him very upset, because you wonder if this season gets away from him. And despite
being, it already has, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think there's so little of it left. He'll have an incredible end of the season for it to be turned around.
Well, I'm going to focus on the Euros there as I want, because this season gets away from him if his injuries not played that much.
And he's never that loved by Gareth anyway.
Well, actually, quite the opposite, Peter. Actually, I was going to say that Southgate has said that Grealish is a lovely lad to have around the camp, and he's very popular.
That's not saying he's the same thing.
He says
though,
stuff, but then he doesn't play him. So yeah, a lot of the time.
Well, I mean, saying
I like him on a personal level, and he's the first name on my team sheet are two totally different things.
But that's the point.
But he's
was
a valued member of the squad. Yeah. That's the last thing you want to hear. I'm a valued member of the squad.
The team is who's going to go and get drunk with me. First on there.
I mean, the reason why though I'm saying this is because if he's a valuable member of the squad, and he is liked around the squad, and he has been used by Southgate in
35 caps
in major tournaments, I would be concerned for Grealish that come the end of the season he's just not done enough, or they're still niggling injuries and he doesn't make the Euros. And as Jim says,
you think they'd leave him out of the squad? Because I think unless he's totally broken, they're not leaving him out of the squad.
Okay. Well, we shall see.
I'm asking you.
Well, I have a concern about that if the injuries, you know, because he's come back twice now. There was it in the Champions League a few weeks ago, came back, and then he only lasted a certain amount of time, and then this one he comes back, only lasts a certain amount of time, and he's gutted. I mean, he's very emotional on the bench.
Do you think
this is not boding well for him?
Do you think the level of competition at City puts something in your head? And obviously, especially the way that Doku has come in.
Well, that's what Jim was suggesting.
No one could have predicted that Doku was going to play quite as well as he has.
But I think Jim made the point earlier that maybe he's busting a gut to do something, and that's not going to bode well if you're, you know,
you're re-aggravating injuries. I mean, Guardiola said himself, didn't he, that you don't have three or four games to get up to speed with this team, because the team keeps moving, and that's that I suppose is the stark reality when you find yourself in a situation like Grealish does. But I think, you know, he's not going to start for England, is he, anytime soon, based on the way he's playing, even if you ignore the injuries. And there was a time where we thought he was almost a secret weapon, you know, and once he got into the team, he'd never leave it. And it hasn't quite worked out that way. But we all want to see him do well, not just because of his personality, but because of how much fun he is on the pitch.
Yeah.
Marcus, don't worry. You've got nothing to worry about, because England are going to win the Euros. So it's fine. As I texted you a couple of weeks ago.
You did. You texted the group, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. I text you personal things that I will not have aired here. But we're going to win the Euros, so we'll be absolutely fine.
Yeah.
I've got Euros fever.
You do, don't you, Peter? I love fever. The fact that you've got Euros fever.
We were sort of considering a change up in the studio to kind of make it look a bit nicer. And producer Charlie said, we got the Euros in the summer, so we can't do it then. I was like, Oh, the Euros in the summer.
Yeah.
I've got England fever.
We should make it into a sort of a mock-up of the swimming pool where they all have those inflatable unicorns.
And we
should do unicorn,
we should
do
it in a big jacuzzi.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
what other podcasts record in a massive jacuzzi?
Exactly.
I'm sure there's some
electrical
dirty
issues. You've been on Twitch.
Oh, dear. Now, Jim, we'll finish the first half with this. Last night, Charlton got their first win since November. And of course, the credit and thanks goes to Nathan Jones.
Of course it does.
He then swore in his post-match interview.
He did. His exact words were, "We had a few words at half-time. Second half, we were outstanding. We outran them. We were fine. Sorry, we were aggressive." I haven't heard him speak, but I assume that was exactly how he delivered it, because that's how he delivers everything, isn't it?
I thought you were just using one of
nice Welsh girl.
I thought you were just using one of the studio buttons there, to be honest.
Oh dear, right.
It's so much fun.
Yeah. Where can he take Charlton?
They won't get let in anywhere with him, I think is the answer to that.
Is that how it works? Oh dear. All right, coming up in the second half, we've got Everton's points deduction, more FA Cup action tonight, and of course, a Neil Warnock update. See you in a moment.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Go around the Premier League and ask all of the Premier League managers, do you play the looky-likey game? And if they give you a boring answer, we'll drive down and we'll slap them with a wet fish.
And deduct them points. Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Now, on Monday night, Andy and I recorded Ramble Reacts following West Ham's 4-2 victory over Brentford. You should listen to that episode right after this one, as you'll hear Andy explain why Jarrod Bowen should be picked for the England squad at the Euros. Andy's got Euros fever. And also, I explain why Neil Maupay should be picked for France. A perhaps less compelling argument to be had there. Now, you can find that episode directly below this one in your podcast pipe. Right, everybody. Everton. Yes. So, as I say, on Ramble Reacts, we did briefly discuss the fact that Everton penalty for breaching Premier League financial rules has been reduced from 10 points to 6 points after that appeal. Now, the reduction has lifted them from 17th to 15th in the table, quite remarkably. This is where it all gets a little bit or potentially messy, should I say. They could still receive further deductions alongside Nottingham Forest, of course, because they've got hearings, the both of them. Forest hearing is due to take place on the 7th and 8th of March, so not long now. But the date of Everton's hearing is still unknown due to Everton appealing the previous one, so it put it back. But both cases have to be heard before the 8th of April. There is no guarantee, though, that if the sides appeal those decisions, whatever they are, and presumably if they go, if it's a slap on the wrist or a fine, you would imagine Everton and Forest going, OK, thanks, we'll take that, bye. But if they are given points deductions, you would imagine they would both appeal, and there's no guarantee that that would be resolved before the last game of the season on the 19th of May.
Yeah.
Which would be quite an unprecedented situation in the Premier League, as far as I'm aware. Mm. So, gentlemen,
You might have teams not knowing which division they're in going into the summer.
It is absolutely incredible. Reading around this, I found this quite interesting on the BBC when they were talking about all this. Did you know that the 2023-24 season, as the BBC said, remains live until the annual general meeting in June when the relegated clubs transfer their certificates? So I didn't actually know that.
So you don't get relegated for a while.
So could you just have like one last go?
Just burn it.
You want this, don't you? could you have some ace negotiator who manages to come back to the club and go, I know we finished 18th, lads, by 5 points, but guess what?
Judge Reinders here. He's got some things to say.
Exactly. Old silver-tongued Steve's managed to keep us up. Andy, what do you think about all this?
It's got strong flavours of Serie A last season because, of course, a similar thing happened to Juventus. This was obviously affecting the race for the Champions League rather than the race for relegation because, to recap, Juventus at the start of the year got 15 points taken off them. Then it got given back to them.
Which is what we thought, there we go.
Juventus. And then they got 10 taken off them.
Which was the big surprise.
And six given back.
But the thing is
those six were rotten points.
It's not just about the points, it's about the timing. And the timing definitely does affect the sporting competition.
Yes. Mm.
Because obviously the other teams had a huge advantage when the 15 points were taken off. Then less so when Juventus went flying up four places in the table when they got the 15 points back. And then when they got taken off again, Jose Mourinho and Roma were like, oh, fuck. I wouldn't have rested all the players for the Europa League if I'd have known we were still in the top four race.
Mm. Quite funny if it happened to Jose, though. Isn't it?
Yeah. And it's Juventus. You know, you got to be careful. Don't assume anything is going to go your way when it comes to them.
Are you talking to Andy specifically or just Serie A in general?
The planet.
Yes.
But it's just good that the Premier League has seen that and went, yeah, we'll have a bit of that.
I mean, Everton getting those points is not quite as drastic as sort of 15 points and 10 points. But still, though, this is...
It makes it, you could argue it's pretty much the same because teams at the bottom have less points. So proportionally, as part of your total, it's pretty much the same.
The whole process has shown that essentially that there is no process, because the reason that these points have been given back is because in their own words, the commission made legal errors, which is, you know, really, really poor. Especially if something is as extreme as the biggest points deduction ever given out to a Premier League team, you've got to make sure that's robust. And essentially, there's just no agreed formula for sanctions for PSR violations. And you think, surely when you're making the regulation, you come up with the formula of the punishment if anyone you know breaks it, and it's an incredible, just incredibly slapdash and unserious way to run all this.
But I mean, but even when the rules are set down, I mean, look at Forest. They're saying, well, actually, the sale of Brennan Johnson, it made sense for them to kind of break the rules because then they would have got more money. Exactly.
It's like this entire plan is making us financially irresponsible.
Yeah. They'll argue that, presumably.
If they'd have amortised it, I don't know how...
No, but it was the sale to Spurs. If they'd have sold him to Spurs before
If they'd have sold him to Brentford, it was before.
Oh, was it... Sorry.
So basically, we're saying they would have got away with it if they'd essentially taken a payday loan.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying, isn't it?
So, I mean, Everton might get docked points again in the sort of the statements explaining this decision. Includes the paragraph, the board agree with the commission that the main reason for the club's breach was that it did not manage its finances as prudently as it should have done. So that there's a chance that when the rest of the time period is taken into account, the same thing will happen again. Although I believe it will probably, I don't think they're going to get 10 points again or anything like that. It'll probably be a lot smaller, but there is a chance that there will be yet more of this. So it's all over the shop.
Well, I mean, yeah, we can say, well, it needs tightening up and so on, and it does. But as we say, with the example of Nottingham Forest there, people say there's this, that and the other.
You'd imagine that there's like the tantalising prospect of the parachute payments. Yeah. And the end of it, and you're going, right, okay, if we go down, is this going to make us more... It's going to be like the producers. Remember Nathan Lee and Matthew Broderick? It's going to be like, we could make more money doing a Mel Brooks producers thing.
You could.
Although, I mean, bad. You know, let's buy someone really expensive, Mbappe.
This is obviously terrible for Everton and Forest, but if you look at the last January transfer window where everyone was like, oh, let's not be idiots for a bit, it might, in the long term, just stop some of the kind of mad things we've been seeing.
Disagree. Andy got a lot of work because nobody had any idea. There was nothing to talk about, so Andy had to fill a lot of time on the telly.
That's right, yeah.
It was me on a little treadmill.
Often when disaster strikes and an unfortunate scenario presents itself, Andy gets a lot of work off the back of that kind of thing, you know, which I think is an
ambulance chaser.
Yeah.
And Andy makes missiles in wars.
Reportedly.
And he's a big Raytheon contributor.
He really, really is. So, yeah, I mean, this is just so... I mean, you remember all the Carlos Tevez Sheffield United thing. I know that was a little bit different, but how long that went on for.
Yeah. But I remember it because the day they got relegated, Sean Bean called Neil Warnock a cunt in front of his kids.
That was naughty.
In front of his own kids or in front of Warnock's kids?
In front of Warnock's kids.
Right, okay.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Why was that?
It was just because they got relegated and Sean Bean was I think, an investor at the club and thought Warnock didn't do a good enough job.
Yeah. For some reason, I thought that was just on telly.
You didn't put me on for the last 10. Bastard. I could have salvaged it, you bastard.
And they said, that wasn't really Warnock's kids, you know. Warnock.
Yeah. Your point's right about comparing the two situations, though, because it's similar in that it's an unprecedented situation.
Yeah.
It's an unprecedented situation that two quite large clubs in the financially most successful league in the world could dig themselves this hole.
Yeah. Isn't it just how long it will rumble on for, because...
And Man City just keep digging. They're digging the longest hole.
But whatever happens here, clubs will say, well, hang on, we had points, it was chaotic. And if they don't get the punishment, which other clubs feel that they should, they say, well, they were cheating. They brought in players, they did this, that and the other. And it could go on and on and on this.
Yeah, but they could just say, yeah, but look at the players he brought in. They weren't very good.
I don't think that's a good argument.
No? Okay.
Yeah. Right. Turning around to Luton Town going, yeah, but we didn't buy anyone good, did we? It's not the point, lads. Yeah. It's not the point.
But if a player came up and went, sorry, I am shit. Yeah. Like, I am rubbish.
Yeah.
I don't work very hard. I'm very distracted all the time.
You'd need a very sympathetic and strange jury, is what I would say.
Hello?
But then often, Peter, that is...
10 strange men.
It's worked for you before.
Yeah.
All right, then. So, Nottingham Forest, they do host Manchester United tonight in the FA Cup. Big news that Wayne Rooney is going to make his punditry debut as he's joining the BBC panel for the game.
The annoying thing is when Rooney does punditry, he doesn't really give as much as he clearly gives in his, like, you know, pre-match chats with his MLS team. He's talking about his tiny penis and, you know, like, I want him to bring some of that energy to the match of the day.
Small dick energy.
I think that probably is what football punditry needs, to be fair, isn't it?
Yeah, small dick energy. Yeah. Instead of these sweeping statements, he's like,
you're not one of those, what do you call them, those guys?
TV producers.
Crypto bros or whatever, Jim.
Right.
What are they called? You know those guys?
Crypto bros.
Might go up, might go down.
Of, yeah, Pete is kind of like, you've got the kind of vibe and personality, but when you go in there and you're like, we need small dick energy, they're just like, no, I don't think you understand.
You would be absolutely excellent as a sort of realistic self-help guru.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, this career, you've been ploughing this furrow for about 5-6 years now. It's not happening. It's not happening.
Come work in a factory. Come on.
Yeah. There are no factories left. Well, build one then.
See?
No, he'd never recommend it. That's far too optimistic.
Just go and live in the forest.
Yeah, with me.
With me.
Come and work on my clapped-out old Japanese car. Come and work here. Lovely time. You get a custard cream every hour on the hour. And a fish supper for dinner. Okay?
If you can fish.
And some frozen chips. Oh dear.
So yeah,
Wayne Rooney, bringing the small dick.
Bringing the small dick energy to match of the day. I mean, this will be his match of the day debut, won't it? Which is they're making a big deal of. I'm not sure I'm that excited about what Rooney's bringing to the screen, to be honest.
No.
But I'm hoping he will.
Just his
like,
face, Jim.
Yeah, I enjoy his face. I hope he'll call out KSI and give a big plug to Misfits Boxing on the BBC.
Right, yeah.
To see them all panicking.
Well, yeah, this was
apparently... Other boxing is available.
For those who didn't hear us talk about that, Wayne Rooney apparently was in talks to take part in the Influence Boxing once upon a time. KSI revealed that Rooney initially proposed the idea via a text at 3:50 a.m.
It's good to know.
I think that...
In Bacardi Breezer Veritas. Yeah.
He's just knocked out Phil Bardsley, finally. Revenge. He's like, I tell you what, I'm ready for this.
Was it when he was in the States? He'd maybe just...
Maybe that's the benefit of the doubt.
Or perhaps not. Perhaps
apparently
not.
Pep Guardiola has told him he'd be welcome to a coaching role at City.
Oh, man, that would just
what
be...
What a lovely dig.
That would be such a mugging off, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it?
Oh dear. Well, Manchester United, their current backroom staff have been standing firm against a particular request from the Manchester United players. A day after their battering by Fulham, the Manchester United players apparently requested a day off.
Give them a day off.
Well, Peter, so funny. If they play on a Saturday, normally on a Sunday they would go in for warm downs and video analysis. Yeah. And I thought to myself, yeah, none of them wanted to watch the video analysis of that game after they got battered by the Mighty Whites.
I love it. They're all up for showing Evil Jim what they're about. Yeah, we're ready to go, boss. Ready to put the hours in.
But apparently, it was a surprise that the staff received the request, and it was reportedly rejected by the coaching staff, and Ten Hag was unaware of it. Like, he didn't even reach him. They were like, look, we're going to say no, and we're not going to tell him because he will be fuming.
He'll fume that you didn't turn up. Yeah, the warm down.
But hopefully, Ten Hag, for Manchester United players' sake, doesn't listen to this podcast.
No,
because we know about it.
We do.
Yeah,
warm down and video analysis does sound like a euphemism for being getting caught doing stuff. I would say. My wife caught me doing some warming down and some video analysis.
Warming up, I think. I thought she was
out at the.
Dear me. Well, this is an interesting little one. We mentioned Ross Barkley earlier. Well, apparently Sir Jim Ratcliffe is eyeing up a potential move for him in the summer. Yeah. That would be incredible, Andy Brassel.
What you're trying to do, Sir Jim, is obscure most of the job that you did at Nice. Not draw attention to it. Not say sure. Sir Dave Brailsford is still...
Did he bring Barkley to Nice?
He did. Yeah. They got a bit of a link.
Weird,
there.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Nice. So there was this great presentation where Ross Barkley was given a shirt which he was wearing over some very casual jeans. Went and waved on the pitch. They asked Lucien Favre, the coach, about it, and he's like, "I have no idea where he plays."
Yeah.
As if to like make clear. A, I have no respect for this guy, and B, I have no respect for the people who run the club.
That's poor from Favre. You can slag off Sir Jim, I'm not going to defend him, but that's poor from Lucien Favre, especially as an England international, lest we forget.
Yeah, I think he was more making a point about the shambolic recruitment at the club. Mm. Now, they've done so much in terms of trying to bring in Dan Ashworth, aren't they? To like, actually get people who know what they're doing running the football side of it.
Yeah.
And then you draw attention to... this sort of make it up as you go along approach that they had at Nice before they got to that point where they realised they needed professionals to run the club.
There is a little bit of a kind of, he played well against us, so let's sign him.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
I mean, but we have been praising Barkley for months now, to be fair. And, you know, I think this role at Luton suits him very well, but there is a good chance that Luton will go down. And
it's like signing Christian Eriksen, basically, isn't it?
A little. He'd tear it up for them in the Championship, but we all know that he can operate really, really well at the Premier League. So it's not the craziest thing in the world.
Yeah.
But I imagine if you're a Man United fan, it does look a little confused.
Do you think, and I know I often link people to the England squad and it's utter nonsense, but do you think Barkley... Could get a call up, or is it too little too late?
I think it might be too little too late. I would love to, if this was like his second season of this renaissance in a different position, I think it might be a bit different. Because I think Southgate's very cautious with that sort of stuff, isn't he? So he'd essentially, he'd have two games in which to try him in that position
He has played, not for a while of course, but he has played under Southgate England, so you never know.
It might be a very weird experimental squad for the next lot, which I'm looking forward to.
Could be. Tonight, Leeds United, who are the only team outside the top flight in action tonight, travel to Chelsea, who are obviously licking their wounds after that League Cup final defeat. Leeds, on the other hand, 9 successive wins.
But it wouldn't be a cap set, would it, Andy?
Can you imagine Daniel Farker's excited little voice if they win?
Oh my goodness.
Would it be that different from his sadness?
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah. You won 5-0.
Yes.
You lost 5-0.
Not so good in the topics.
Yeah, it's very similar. But he's now got the highest win percentage of any manager in Leeds United's history.
Wow.
That's remarkable.
That is impressive.
Yeah. You think about the great Don Revie.
Yeah. David O'Leary's baby.
Neil Warnock.
I suppose Bielsa at this sort less so. This sort of level is probably a more apt comparison, isn't it?
I would say so, Ed.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah. I would say so. But yeah, Leeds going very, very well indeed.
It's one of 4 games in 10 days for Leeds, though. Mm. So you wonder if they won't mind too much if they lose this one.
Yes, I see what you mean. But if Leeds and Leicester go up from the Championship, it will feel like, well, we've already got two established Premier League.
No, it'll be like, where were you?
Yeah, yeah.
Where have you guys been?
Oh, did you have a season off, did you? Kind of thing. But yeah, I'll tell you something. You'd have to be a Chelsea fan not to want Leeds to win tonight.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it would be...
Oh, absolutely. It'd be great. And especially with the history between the two clubs. It's like, it's one of those weird ones where it's obviously not a derby for geographical reasons, but they hate each other.
Yeah.
They do.
Yes.
I mean, Leeds have that with quite a lot of teams, I feel, and so do Chelsea. So of all the sides, then perhaps this isn't too surprising, but still, it could be a tasty one. And of course, Pete will be back tonight alongside Luke for Ramble Reacts following those FA Cup ties. Make sure you follow us on Spotify so you never miss an episode. You looking forward to it, PT?
Certainly am. I do like a Ramble React.
You do.
It's always that kind of... The match finishes at 10 and we start at 10:15 and I just don't know what to do with myself for that 15 minutes.
Uh-huh. Well, you've got to put down your drinks.
Put down your drinks, and, yeah. All right.
And
get going.
Put your clothes back on and away you go.
Mm. That's why you like it, isn't it? You're that's on the like webcam it. Around I'm that time. Anyway.
I just moved the mattress out of the way.
There we are.
Did you see Gary Neville doubled down on calling them blue billionaire bottle jobs?
Oh, did he?
You know, blue £1 billion bottle jobs, sorry. Just absolutely doubled down. Klopp's defended them. Gary, no.
I love it. The opposition manager's like, all right, Gary, I think you need to... No,
calm down. Yeah.
Go through with this. Dearie me. Right, everybody, let's end the podcast today by going to Scotland. Neil Warnock's Aberdeen Place, Johnston tonight. Warnock is yet to win in the league with Aberdeen, which is a shame. Which is a shame. Now, according to the BBC, he showed the players a horrible video in order to try and improve their defending.
Can we not go back to Pete on this? I mean, the way the BBC framed it was mischievous, to say the least.
It was. He
showed them a video of their defensive mistakes.
Well, I don't think that is what it is, Andy. No. Because if you read what happened on the
DVD
BBC...
with the word ISIS on it.
Yeah. Right, I'm going to show you a video. All right, that's me putting
horrible snuff film.
That's me putting a cat in a plastic bag.
Oh, Marcus.
You're talking about people dying here.
No, I'm not. Don't be cruel to cats, because one thing football fans don't like, it's cat cruelty.
Or Graham Souness.
Well, I haven't told you what the cat did.
All right, good point.
I love it. He says ISIS and snuff videos.
I'm
the one who gets the eye for saying a cat.
Yeah, good point.
I actually prefer animals to people, Marcus.
I know you do, you knobhead. Well, also, Warnock was, I mean, it will be a video of their defending, we should say, Andy, to pour cold water on all that, which I think we needed to. He was also asked about various things, and he said, I read about I'd come up here for holiday. Make no mistake, I would have picked a warmer place if I wanted a holiday. So let's put that to bed then.
It must be encouraging.
You're defending shit. This place is freezing. I can't wait to get back to Cornwall. What do you think, Andy? Is he going to turn it round at Aberdeen? Is he going to win a trophy and fly up the league?
I'm going to say no. But if we're talking about the holiday element of it, he does at least get to gaze in deep into the eyes of very handsome Aberdeen goalkeeper Kelly Roos. So there you go.
It says there's something there.
Yeah.
There is something. Okay, well, let's see if we can turn it around with a victory tonight against St Johnstone. There we are, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Patron subscribers, don't go anywhere. Keep listening for Ramble Uncut. And if you're not a Patron subscriber, do sign up to get Ramble Uncut every single Wednesday. Head over to patreon.com/footballramble. Also, follow us on Twitter, currently known as X, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram at Football Ramble, and follow us on Spotify. Thank you, Andy.
Thanks.
Thank you, Petey.
Goodbye, all.
Thank you, Jimmy.
See ya.
Thank you, everybody. See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.